This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, just after 3 o'clock in the nation's capital, always live and free on the Odyssey app, on the Team 980 throughout the DMV. We're always on demand as well. You can listen to any hour, any segment. Max and friends will get it cut up for you after the show. Just give them a chance on the Odyssey app or at the team980.com. All right. So I was just talking to Granimus Paulson. I said, is anything working for you guys? He says, well, you know, we spent a half an hour talking about the Dodgers. And I said, oh, that'll go over great. I can't even get them to care about the Nationals around here, never mind the Dodgers. You know how that works. And then he's talking about just a couple of other things that they tried. And he's like, yeah, we really haven't tried, you know, phone calls and whatever. Boy, we started off the show talking about a little bit of snow coming down and how this very much feels like mid-July, minus the weather. Like, normally in mid-July, it's like 97 degrees and nothing to talk about, yeah. And you're just aching for training camp. Here, it's like 17 degrees, or at least it was, this morning, depending on where you live, and there's nothing to talk about. I mean, we're just kind of creating stuff from all of these, not lists, but all of these different things, right?
To kind of machine.
Yeah, to kind of try and tap into your pulse a little bit, to kind of try and get you to think outside the box a little bit, what have you. So again, PFF came up with this dream scenario thing. We gave you the Commander's dream scenario. I wanted to take you to the Philadelphia Eagles, who, of course, as you know, just won the Super Bowl.
Unfortunately.
And they're saying, their dream free agent scenario signing is re-signing Zach Bond.
Sure.
And picking up Donovan Ezeraku, I believe I'm saying his name right, the edge defender from Boston College. Letting Josh Sweat go, perhaps letting Milt Williams go. Mm. They might have to let both of those guys go, right? It doesn't say that specifically in this breakdown, but it clearly makes Zach Bond more important than Sweat or Milton Williams as a must-have free agent signing, and of course not going outside, staying inside. And that's the thing, right? When you win, and even when you don't win, and this is the case, right? When you win, you know you're going to lose guys. Like,
yep,
it happens, right? Guys get pricier, guys get it more expensive. You can't keep everybody. But at least you won. If you sign a bunch of players to big free agent contracts, big cap numbers, what have you, even if it's just by extension, and you don't win, and say they don't perform up to their contract standards, i.e. Daron Payne, or even Jonathan Allen, right? Just to use them as an example, or some of the other free agent signings, the Commanders, Redskins, what have you, have made throughout the years. I mean, again, Josh Norman, perfect example. You know, God, there were others, but
I'm just saying there were many
yeah,
others.
I mean, obviously Albert Haynesworth, everybody knows Albert Haynesworth, but there were others that, you know, like they signed and didn't get necessarily anywhere close to the production that they were hoping, thinking they were going to get. They never really, I shouldn't say they never really had, but they so rarely had a situation like Zach Bond, who kind of came out of nowhere, switched positions, different scheme, different position, went from edge outside linebacker to interior line or inside linebacker, had a monster year, so on and so forth. They never even really had that. Never mind anybody big that they would sign, you know, for the most part. I mean, Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson certainly made good contributions. I would say at times very good contributions, but they weren't, I don't know if they were like game-changing type signings. You know, I go back and I think of guys like Jason Hatcher and Stephen Bowen, who both had, you know, flashes of success. I would say Bowen more than Hatcher here, but never really were able to kind of change the program. But Zach Bond kind of changed how the Philadelphia Eagles defense operated last year. Now, again, some of that is because they had a new defensive coordinator, you know, longtime Philly guy, you know, and longtime successful guy, but had kind of run into some issues in Miami, and his 1 year in Miami did not work out. I guess some players ruffled feathers with and whatever. So, I mean, there was no guarantee when Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman hired him that it was going to work, and yet it worked brilliantly, right? So here we are. I mean, I think they'll be able to get two of those three guys, meaning Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, and Zach Bond, but maybe they'll just be able to get one. We'll have to see because, you know, they got some other things to take care of. That's the Eagles situation. The Giants situation. This I found interesting. Free agents, and this is via PFF, dream offseason scenarios, right? The free agent signing, Stephon Diggs. Now, why I think that could work is because Malik Nabers, A, doesn't make any money right now. Remember, he's only going into year two.
Yeah.
And Malik Nabers is a stud if they can keep him on the field and not have him get just beat to shreds like he did last year.
Please keep him healthy. I'd like him to be a Commander in a few years.
but Stephon Diggs could work better in that scenario because, A, again, you're not asking him to be the number one guy. More importantly, you're not paying already the number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not about to have to pay the number one guy a large extension this offseason or as a pending free agent next year, i.e. Terry McLaurin. So it's a different scenario for Stephon Diggs to go play with Malik Nabers than it is for him, even though he a Terp, to come back here and play with Terry McLaurin. Okay, it's a different scenario. There are some similarities, but it's kind of different, at least the way I see it. And again, this prevents me from going big, and essentially I'll take my bat and go home and just walk away. This prevents me from going big at wide receiver. I'm not going big at wide receiver in terms of money and resource when I've got to improve my defense. We all know about edge. We still... some of us talk about corner, maybe not enough. Still don't know how good truly Marshawn Lattimore is going to be here, but hope. But we don't know, right? So they certainly need some help there. Anyway, the point being is, you know, I just don't see a scenario where they're going 25, 30 million at wide receiver. I just don't see that scenario because, again, Terry McLaurin had a monster breakout year and needs to get paid. And I'm paying Terry before I'm paying T, period. Sorry if that, you know, bothers people. Now, like a guy like Mac Hollins from Buffalo might be an interesting fit. He ain't going to cost $25 million. And he's a free agent.
He's also weird.
He's also weird. He's also, let me tell you something. I don't like walking around with bare feet at all. Are you a barefoot guy?
When I was like seven, sure.
Like now?
Not now. No.
Why is that? Because you're afraid of stepping on something, or because it feels weird, or what?
I'd probably be more afraid of stepping on something.
Uh-huh.
Or stepping in something,
yeah.
Because that would just be
disgusting. Not fun.
No.
I'm not a big fan of any part of it, stepping on something, stepping in something. My feet on the ground.
It's cold
depending on where you are, right? Even if you're in a warm house, like you're on a wood floor or a vinyl floor or whatever, it just feels kind of weird. I don't love socks all the time. Like when I go to sleep, sometimes I will keep socks on because my feet are cold and I don't want them to be cold. But oftentimes that's the only time that I'm without socks. And I have to suck it up when I get up overnight because I'm an old man and I go pee and I drink too much. I got to suck it up to not, to walk around barefoot. But other than that, I don't like it. And this morning, I put on the wrong house shoes.
We got to get you some slippers.
Yeah, well, I have them. The problem is they get put everywhere, and
all
I don't remember where I put them,
okay.
And then I can't find them.
We are the same, and I.
But anyway, the point being is I don't like regular shoes, but my also my feet are tired and sore, and they hurt and whatever. But I just don't like bare feet anywhere, really. And this guy walks in, I mean, whether it's 75 and sunny in Buffalo, which it really only is in, like, August.
Yeah.
Or whether it's, like, 5 degrees and snowing out in a blizzard, he'll walk in literally barefoot.
Well, that's the thing.
So get ready for that if he comes here. Mitch Tischler will be all over that.
You do it enough, eventually, like, the bottom of your feet become, like, leather, and you don't notice as much, but I won't get to that point, so I'll never find out.
Hoffman should ask, if Hoffman's listening, or maybe we'll remind him when I see him,
you
should ask Tischler on Tischler Tuesdays at 5 o'clock today.
There we go.
Oh, no, wait. Today's Wednesday. I'm thinking it's Tuesday. Screw that. Next week, hey, if Mac Hollins comes here, are you going to be on Mac Hollins alert for when he steps off the damn bus or out of his car or out of the player's parking lot barefoot? I am petrified of stepping on glass.
Yeah.
And not only glass, like sharp little pebbles. No thanks. Even socks, I'm a little nervous. But at least socks, I feel like you got some layer of protection.
There aren't going to be that many pebbles that just like cut your feet, I don't feel like. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think you've been living long enough.
You know what? Fair point.
I think I've got some years on you.
I think
seasoning.
You got me there.
Anyway, just real quickly, Giants. I don't know how we got on Mac Hollins. Oh, we were talking about Stephon Diggs and wide receivers. Giants dream scenario. Stephon Diggs as a free agent and Shedeur Sanders, the Colorado quarterback, as a first-round pick. All right. So that would be interesting. By the way, he's 42 overall on the PFF big board. I think Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are both going to struggle in the NFL.
I probably agree.
I'd be very surprised if either one of them ever hits anywhere close to Jaden Daniels level. And they shouldn't, based on their perception by most smart people.
Yeah.
But NFL teams are going to be tempted to think, oh, we can get this guy.
A lot of NFL teams are dumb.
A lot of NFL teams are dumb. Just because your credentials say you're not dumb doesn't mean you're not dumb. All right, real quickly, I just wanted to finish up in the NFC. So we did the Giants. We did the Eagles. Now the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Oh, God, that hurt my throat. Oh, man. God dang.
45 more minutes.
Dream free agent. And I forgot my throat spray, so I'm just trying to down as much hot tea as I can. Dream free agent scenario signing, according to PFF for the Cowboys, Puna Ford, an interior defensive lineman from the L.A. Chargers. Now, this makes sense, A, because they've struggled to stop the run, one. Two, because they are probably not going to bring back both DeMarcus Lawrence and Osa Odighizuwa, who are both defensive interior. Well, Lawrence Moore plays edge. Odigizawa plays more interior. But they're probably not going to bring back both, is my guess. And they're probably going to let both go. Maybe they can get one back, but I don't know. But Puna Ford would make sense. Now, the question is he alone? I mean, he alone is not going to totally change anything. But he would probably make them younger and better. So that's one. He's got an 85.3 overall PFF grade, which ranked fifth among interior defenders. So, I think that would be a good signing. I understand why it makes sense. But if you're losing Odigizawa and DeMarcus Lawrence, is he and Micah Parsons and whoever else they have enough? I don't know. Then they say, and this would scare the devil out of me, first-round draft pick Ashton Jeanty. And we talked about Rico Dowdell. We talked about the Cowboys. We talked about the Commanders needing a running back, needing a true running back. Ashton Jeanty with the Cowboys.
He keeps getting mocked there, too, and it just does not make me feel good.
That would make me nervous. Where are they on the chart in terms of first-round picks? 18?
I think they're 18th or 19th. Okay.
So, I mean, that is certainly more his range than 29 to the Commanders.
But, I'm sorry, they're 12th.
Oh, they're 12th. Okay, yeah, that's right, because they didn't make the playoffs, and they were so... I mean...
They stunk.
They obviously improved late in the year, so I thought they were a little bit lower, too, but I didn't realize they were...
I didn't realize
they were as high as 12. Jeanty at 12 might be a little bit of a reach, especially if you need help on your defense stopping the run.
Yeah, but Jerry Jones, that's a Jerry Jones pick.
Yes, absolutely. Jeanty is much more a Jerry Jones pick than Trevion Henderson.
Easily.
Than Etienne from Georgia.
Yeah.
Than Omarion Hampton, who we've talked about a lot on much. And that it's a fair point. Jerry knows that his team needs juice on offense, juice in the running back group. He can make Dak Prescott better. He can make his offensive line better. He can make his defense better if he can run the ball and if he's right about Ashton Jeanty being a stud. And he's not the only one. So if they take him at 12, remember, again, Jahmyr Gibbs was taken at 12 by the Detroit Lions, and everybody thought that was a horrible pick. I mean, not everybody. I didn't think it was a horrible pick. I loved it. I didn't think he would be this good, but I thought he'd be pretty good. But the point being is, if they take... You know, this is a dream scenario. The thing about a running back, and this is the thing that the number nerds, the analytics amigos just don't get, is the impact they have on everyone else, everything else. Now, they've got to be good, obviously. They don't have to be Barry Sanders. They don't have to be, the great Walter Payton. They don't have to be Derrick Henry, or they don't have to be Saquon Barkley. But a really good running back, a very good running, pretty good to very good, can help out so many areas on your team that people don't want to realize or don't give credit to. That's why I've always been such a big running the ball guy and a big fan of running backs, is because of the impact that they... Now, sure, a quarterback can make pedestrian wide receivers, tight ends, maybe an offensive line, better. I think we saw some evidence of that, right? I mean, did Jaden Daniels make a somewhat pedestrian offensive line better? I think he did. But then I think you saw the flaws of that offensive line at times, right? And how it manifested itself. Anyway, the point being is, I think if the Cowboys get a guy like Puna Ford to improve their run defense and their interior, remember, Mazi Smith has not worked out just yet, but he's going into year three, assuming that they keep him. If they get Puna Ford, if they get Ashton Jeanty, that would be, some might call it a nightmare scenario.
Devastating,
not a dream scenario. Maybe that. Coming up next, the details on that weird, wacky, wild rumor over the offseason, late last week into the weekend that I just found out about yesterday, and it came from a very, very strange place. Details on that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
There is nothing ever wrong with Hotel California and the Eagles. Not those Philadelphia Eagles.
These Eagles are fine.
These Eagles are great. The best band of all time. That's what was missing from the SNL 50 concert that they did on Friday night at Radio City, which was a pretty good show. Went on way too long. But they had some really, really, I mean, God, Cher at 78 years old looks unbelievable. I mean, I'm sure plastic Sergio Palooza, but my goodness, at 78, I mean, I hope to even be breathing at 78. But I mean, she was there. Miley Cyrus was there. What else do they have there? They did.
Paul McCartney was there.
No, Paul McCartney wasn't there for the SNL 50 celebration concert on Friday. He might have been there for the Sunday night show.
Sunday night show. Okay, that's what I'm referencing.
There was a Friday night concert, basically, concert special, in which they had random acts. So they had, you know, so basically they had, what's his name? I'm trying to think. I have to look it up. My brain is just not working right now. It just had different, you know, again, Miley Cyrus kind of opened it. They had all sorts of different acts. Anyway, they didn't have the Eagles, right? Which I don't know how many times the Eagles have performed on Saturday Night Live over the years. Probably not many times, just because they were so popular already when Saturday Night Live kind of launched that maybe they just didn't. But I kept hoping that Lorne was going to be able to bring out like somebody that I really, really, really cared about. I mean, like the people that were there were fine. You know, there was a Nirvana tribute. There was, I'm trying to think of what else was there. I have to look at the whole list.
There was a whole bunch.
Yeah. But either way,
Arcade Fire, Lauryn Hill.
There you go. Lauryn Hill was there. Arcade Fire. Right. So they did also a reprise of, it's one of their skits. I forget, you know, it was the music teachers.
Backstreet was back.
Backstreet yes. Boys, right? Yeah, saw them. They did one of their skits, right, with the music teachers, the male and the female music teacher, right? And the whole point was, oh, all of our, you know, past students have gone on to such great success, and look at them all here, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then they launch into a reprise of Kendrick Lamar's They Ain't Us.
Not Like Us.
Or Not Like Us, whatever. And they start doing, you know, this kind of their version of
sure.
They're Not Like Us, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they get to the, you know, the line where it goes like a minor. And then they just like play it out like over and over and over again for like a minute. And they're like, a minor, a minor, a minor, a minor. And like in that kind of like, you know, old woman-y voice, mm-hmm. part of the skit, obviously. That was hilarious. Like, I know people that are very sensitive and thin-skinned, like Linnell, who just think that just atrocious that Kendrick Lamar, I guess, has this beef with what's his name
with Drake
and he makes fun of him and whatever. I'm not thin-skinned. I can make fun of myself as best as anybody.
I think Linnell just wants to be contrarian.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't.
That's fair. That's fair. But anyway, I thought it was hilarious. Like, it was really well done.
Yeah.
Because it was a long skit and a long bit of, you know, again, like, going through different musical acts and
remember
different...
Remember this guy?
Yeah. And like, oh, you know, all of our people have graduated and done great and whatever, and then all of a sudden they just launch into this thing. And I knew it was coming. If I didn't know it was coming, I may have tuned out, but I knew it was coming, and I had... Because I'd seen it online. Mm-hmm. Like, a bunch of people had posted it. But then I was like, oh, man, I've got to check that out and see how they kind of got into that. And boy, did they nail it. Man, did they nail it. Oh, baby, it was so good. So good. All right. So there's this. I told you that there was a crazy report that I somehow missed. And basically it was from a PGA Tour reporter, and for whatever reason, I'm not able to pull it up on my computer now, so I'll get you the details in just a little bit. But basically, the nuts and the bolts of it was, he reported that a high-ranking Jaguars source had received a call from the Pittsburgh Steelers about Trevor Lawrence.
Oh.
Okay, and...
Uh-huh.
Now, everybody is running around denying that this happened, what have you. Everyone is like, you know, this is preposterous, including Trevor Lawrence, basically himself. He was on with Kay Adams, and he said, look, there's nothing to this, what have you. But the bottom line is, the report was so abstract and came from out of nowhere that... Nobody knew what exactly to do with it, right? You have to kind of give it some credence, some level of credence, because the reporter said, hey, this is coming from somebody high-end in the Jaguars organization, and I'm paraphrasing. Yet this is somebody that doesn't cover the NFL. It's somebody that covers the PGA Tour, and basically he said Pittsburgh was calling Jacksonville to inquire about Trevor Lawrence. And the problem is, or part of the problem is, the Jaguars don't have a GM right now.
Yeah.
Right? So, number one. So, that seemed to indicate that maybe they were calling Tony or Shad Khan, right? Now, they do have a president, Mark Lampkin, so maybe that's the guy that they were calling. So nobody knows even who they would have been calling. But I will tell you, it is not absurd to think that a team as desperate as Pittsburgh is to solve their quarterback dilemma would be calling around to teams that have quarterbacks that are maybe underperforming, i.e. they're not calling Washington and Adam Peters and say, hey, how much would it take to get Jaden Daniels? Duh, that's not happening. But Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, even though really hard to do because of the dead cap hit, could that be a possibility? Hells yeah, it could. Remember, a couple of years ago, before Adam Peters got here, meaning going into the final year of Ron Rivera, John Keim reported that literally they were calling every single team and just saying, hey, how much would it take to get this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy? And that was including Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, who were then coming off a very good year, a division winning year, granted in a terrible division. But my point being is they were calling every single team. So is Pittsburgh doing that? I think it's possible. And I think the Jaguars could be like, well, you know what? Yeah, we took a call and maybe we had a discussion and maybe we thought about it, or maybe we called them. And now we're going to make the PGA Tour reporter look like he's out of his league, and he kind of is. I'll give you the details on who he is next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app after a final trending alert. All right, so Trevor Lawrence says he don't want to go anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's staying in Jacksonville. He's really optimistic, what have you. All the different things, right? But he said he didn't even know about the rumor. I didn't either. Apparently, the rumor, Pelissero reported that it was fake. I don't know. So I went back and maybe the reason why I'm struggling to find it is because maybe it's been deleted. But I know
I have found it.
Oh, you have found it. Okay.
Ryan Burr was the first.
Burr. That's who it was. I was trying to pull it up on my phone. I was trying to do a search for it, and nobody would link back to the original. Mm-hmm. So who is Ryan Burr? Does it say exactly in his bio there?
Yeah, I can read his Twitter bio. Yeah. Big Ten Network Hoops, PGA Tour Live, owner of NB3J GNC, entrepreneur, A-Game Sports Drink, and Q's alum.
Okay, whatever all that means. You said Big Ten College Basketball Reporter?
Yeah, Big Ten Network Hoops, PGA Tour Live.
Okay, and then so I saw PGA Tour Live, and then I saw a bunch of tweets about golf. But for whatever reason, I was having trouble pulling it back up because now there's so much reporting mm-hmm. being done to counter it.
Yeah.
So who knows if it was true? Who knows if it was fake? What have you? The exact tweet, can you read? Can you still see the exact
Absolutely.
Tweet? Absolutely. Can you read that just for the record?
Steelers have made inquiries to the Jaguars about a trade for Trevor Lawrence. This directly from the horse's mouth in the Jags organization. Wow! Exclamation point.
Yeah. So when you say, you know, when you, it's one thing to say the Steelers have made inquiries, right? That can easily be kind of, well, maybe that's possible. You know, they're checking around, they're poking it, you know, whatever. They realize Trevor Lawrence has kind of been a disappointment, but they realize he's far better than anything they've had or have. But then when you say, how did he word it again, from the horse's mouth in Jacksonville?
Yes, directly from the horse's mouth in the Jags organization.
Okay, so who is the horse's mouth? It's got to be Shad Khan or Tony Khan, right?
You would think.
I mean, it's got to be. They don't have a general manager. Is their head coach, Liam Cohen, who just got the job 2 weeks ago, is he the one that would be saying something like that? Probably not, right?
Well, and given, I'm just extrapolating here, but Ryan, PGA Tour Live, PGA Tour headquarters is in North Florida. So the connection is there, at least, you know.
So basically what you're saying is, and because I know how this kind of works, right? People, different cross sports, you know, like they can be friends. Like for instance, you know, the Junkies they're not athletes, but they were really good friends with the former NFLPA executive director, DeMaurice Smith. The way it works is, you know, sometimes
people know people.
People know people and they talk. You know, I know people.
That's right.
I don't always get the information that I'd like because I don't want to put them in a bad spot. But sometimes I get stuff or I hear stuff or I get told stuff.
It's fun to know stuff.
You know, right? Exactly. I mean, Grant, you know, does it all the time. JP does it all the time. You know, B. Mitch, I'm sure, gets told a lot of things that he doesn't say, right? Because, you know, we're all kind of trying to, A, protect not only our jobs, but also, you know, you don't want to make people look bad, right? Well, right. In this case, he's saying straight from the horse's mouth, which would indicate, again, from the cons. Not definitive because, again, Mark Lamping is the Jaguars team president.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they fired Trent Baalke finally after that embarrassing, you know, thing.
Nobody wanted to work
with him. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, long and the short of it is, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going anywhere. I mean, he signed a five-year, $275 million extension. He's got a $17 million cap hit in this upcoming year, but more importantly, the trade and what it would cost the Jaguars just to unload him in dead cap dollars seems like an absolute no-go from the start. But can I blame the Steelers if they indeed did check in? No. Can I blame the Jaguars if they took the call? No. That's how this works. That's how it literally works. All right, so I wanted to do this. We mentioned in one of the updates that the Nationals keep tinkering with their roster. They've signed veteran free agent reliever Lucas Sims, who pitched for the Red Sox and the Reds last year, 4.38 ERA, 1-6, 49 in the third innings. You know, the Reds traded him to Boston right at the deadline. And he's, you know, already down in West Palm Beach. Mason Thompson's going to go on the 60-day DL. Nobody cares. You know, it's just a veteran right-hander. They don't have a closer, so they're looking for as many arms as they can and somebody to step up and settle in as the closer. It's very unlikely to be that guy, but again, he's in the mix, okay? And so is, by the way, Kyle Finnegan. What? That's right. Mike Rizzo did not close the door on Finnegan. He did say it takes two to tango, meaning they'd like to have him back, just they didn't want to pay him $9 million because he struggled a little bit in the second half. He's a little bit up there in age. You know, relievers are mercurial, right? All right. So anyway, that was one of the things that the Nationals took criticism over, and rightfully so. I understand that, right? A one-year $9 million deal shouldn't be breaking a major league team. But Mark Lerner was interviewed by I think it was by Barry Sverluga, the Washington Post. And Lerner is very, very friendly towards the Post and specifically Barry, and said, you know, when asked about player acquisition and ownership philosophy and the sale and whatever, he said, quote, "Our commitment is to continue to go forward." When referencing a sale, he said, "That is not on the list of things we worry about. We're excited about the team. We work too hard to get it, and we love what we're doing with it. And so unless something different happens along the way, we're in it for the long haul." Now, the way I took that, Max, I don't know if you take it another way, is, yeah, man, we're not trying to actively sell the team because nobody is willing to give us the price that we want that nobody else thinks it's worth. Oh, plus the Masson deal is still a mess and still being sorted out. And oh, by the way, the team averages less than 20,000, I think, a game. There's all sorts of issues. So we're not really putting that on the front burner. We're going to put that on the back burner. But if somebody wants to meet our egregious asking price, sure, we'll talk. Sure, we'll consider it. Sure, we would sell it. Who is that somebody? Doesn't appear to be Ted Leonsis. It's not David Rubenstein anymore, who was mentioned to be like partners with Ted Leonsis at one point. Mm-hmm. Obviously bought the Orioles. It's not Josh Harris or anything like that. I mean, that I don't see that happening. But the bottom line is, basically said, hey, man, you know, look, we're not worried about it. You know, we're excited about the team now. He said, we worked too hard to get it. That means, like, a long time ago.
Who's we? Your dad?
Well, his family, right? Yeah. Right? We worked too hard to get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You did. And you won a world championship, and you spent a lot of money back in the 2000 teens and all that stuff, and you developed, and we know that systematically you have destroyed that team in concert with COVID and just some things going wrong. Obviously, the Max Scherzer deal, and they would have been wrong one way or the other. Max Scherzer, Anthony Rendon, turns out. I'm sorry, not Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, so on and so forth. The Masson deal, obviously, a huge problem. But remember, as my guy Talk Nats has pointed out a million times, we've talked about this too. You know, they've been sitting on Nationals Park without a corporate name sponsor for 15 years.
Yeah.
They won't sell the naming rights to just anybody for any price that's even reasonable amongst the market. They say they have a price, or the belief is they have a set price. Nobody has met it. Therefore, they will not sell it for anything less than what they determine to be the price. Instead of taking $15 million a year, and I'm just using a number, they insist on $25 million a year. And again, I'm just using a number. Okay. But that's, in your mind, that's kind of the scenario. So, again, he said the ownership structure, and there's been some rumors about, you know, infighting and whatever. He said, at the end of the day, it wasn't worth the aggravation of having more partners and all that. So what I took that to mean was they weren't necessarily looking to completely get out. It was, hey, how can we bring in somebody with significant cash, with significant revenue and capital, and still keep ownership of the team or controlling interest of the team or at least a significant stake in the team? And there was infighting about that as well. So maybe they weren't truly looking to sell controlling interest of the team or to get out completely. And to me, right, this is all, while he admits we're working out all the issues, Masson and everything else, this is a situation that is not a nightmare. Like, being owned by Dan Snyder was a nightmare.
Worse.
But this is a not good mare.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
That's what we
This is
it.
Kind of a bad dream mare.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to call it, because clearly they are not in it to take a loss or to take a short-term loss to get a long-term gain. They're not looking for the return on their investment that they're looking for is, okay, we shed Patrick Corbin's deal and Kyle Finnegan's money, and we're going to spend about that, maybe a little bit more than that, and replace that payroll. But we're not adding payroll. But technically, they can say they added payroll because they shed Patrick Corbin's $25 million a year, and Patrick and Kyle Finnegan's $8 million a year, and somebody else, I forget who. We shed that, so now we can add more. Well, technically, you're just replacing the money that you shed, which is better than not replacing it and just bagging that money, but it's not by any means the nirvana, to use that term again, that people were led to believe or that their own comments allowed everybody to run with. I don't have the exact quotes in front of me, but at one point they indicated, if not said explicitly, hey, we're going to be much more aggressive in the free agent market, the payroll in this offseason. Well, they weren't. And nobody can deny that. Now, again, they brought in Paul DeJong the other day.
Sure.
That's going to help them. He had 24 home runs last year. Going to help them until he gets traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
Right? So he's gonna help them like Jesse Winker did last year.
Yeah.
For 4 months, and then he's going to get dealt on July 30th. And then they're going to fall apart a little bit. Fall apart might be a stretch, but they're going to struggle a little bit to get down the home stretch, the final 2 months of the season. Maybe they won't, because the kids will be, you know, fully entrenched at that point, as opposed to going through their rookie season. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be better. And maybe they'll win 75 or 76 games. But Nationals fans, like, the one thing I will say about the Learners that I don't think they understand is Nationals fans are not going to come out in droves until you give them something to be super pumped about. And right now, even though there's promise and potential, there's nothing to be super pumped about, period.
Nothing. There's nothing promised or and nothing really guaranteed.
Exactly. Coming up next, Dumb Dumb of the Day. We'll get more into the Nationals maybe as we go along throughout the week. Coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day. We'll wrap it up before Craig Hoffman and then Georgetown basketball at 6:45 right here on the Team 980. Oh, yeah. Linnell Willingham in studio, boys and girls. He's in for Craig tomorrow, but he's in on OT tonight, 6:30 on 106.7 The Fan. So, yes, he still does exist. He's just not on Windbag Wednesday. So we've had a lot of windbaggery ourselves between me and Mad Max. But now it is time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
We'll have to do this quick. You know Pittsburgh Steelers fans are upset, bothered by the Steelers' perceived collapse down the stretch. Their defense struggling, still no quarterback, all sorts of things. People talking about Mike Tomlin getting fired. Well, a Steelers superfan named Kevin Adams has bought and paid for a billboard that he put up in downtown Pittsburgh at the Boulevard of the Alleys, saying, quote, "The standard is mediocrity," instead of "the standard is the standard." And it says, "Trade Tomlin or sell the team, Rooney. We've had enough." Now, listen, he defended his fandom by saying, "Listen, this is the way I choose to celebrate the Steelers. I'll always stand on what I believe in. I'll put my money where my mouth is." There's nothing wrong with that. It's freedom of speech, whatever. He's got the money. He can do whatever he wants. People, let me just tell you, those of you dum-dums that fly jets and helicopters with messages that get all over the news and whatever, you are wasting your money. You're wasting your resources. Donate it to charities. I've got a good one, Best Buddies, JDRF. Like, I've got great charities you can donate to. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your money. They're not paying attention. They didn't fire Tomlin. They didn't trade Tomlin. I can't say they won't ever, but they're not doing it. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your resources. It's not happening. Oh, and one more. It's not Mike Tomlin's fault either. You may want to consider that.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Fans that are overly passionate. Yeah. I know fans short for fanatics, but also, like, fans can be dum-dums. Just, you know, if you're mad at the team, call Sports Talk Radio. Listen to Sports Talk Radio. That's better than spending your own money and hiring a jet or creating a billboard. Please stop. All right, coming up next, Craig Hoffman, then Georgetown basketball. I'm running a little bit late. Thanks to Mad Max on the other side of the glass. Thanks to you for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 1. Adios.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.